Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name's Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia in 2012, as well as at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California, just last month. And our guest today also was there. So I've shared the stage with people because of those events like Deepak Chopra, Jeffrey Gittimer, Greg Reed, Joan Assaraf, Sharon Lecter, Don Green, Executive Director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and even Dr. J.B. Hill, grandson of Napoleon Hill, as well as my guest today, Michelle Prince. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number two, and Tall, T-A-L-L, .com. And my guest today is Michelle Prince. I met her, as I said, at the Think and Grow Rich Summit. And right away, when I tell you this, and you know me, you'll know that she looked about a foot taller as soon as I heard this. She's a best-selling author and a Zig Ziglar motivational speaker. The only ever certification person I ever wanted to be associated with would be Zig Ziglar. She's a business owner of multiple companies. She's a wife of 15 years and mother of two young boys. Michelle's had to learn the art of juggling her personal and her professional life successfully. Most people, especially in North America, are juggling too many things. They're procrastinating and they're not getting as much done as they want, which leads to a life of frustration and unfulfilled goals. And Michelle is passionate about helping people live with purpose, follow their passion, and take action in big ways. She ignited this at the tender age of 18 when she met her mentor and one of my personal all-time number one heroes, Zig Ziglar. She completely embraced personal development and goal-setting techniques, helping her to realize her big goal of working for Zig Ziglar in 1994. And since that time, she's journeyed through the ups and downs of life, all the while holding on to her passion of inspiring, motivating, and encouraging others to be the best that they can be. She's learned the secret to living a happier, more abundant life, and she's on a mission to show you and your organization how to stop juggling, how to overcome procrastination, and get more done in your business, leadership, and life. It's time for America's productivity coach to give you the tools to stop being busy, being busy. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Wow, when I heard you were a Ziglar motivational speaker, wow, you got prettier, you got taller, you got smarter. It was like, wow, she's a Ziglar motivational speaker. And so like myself, I first came across Zig, I think maybe 22, 21, 23 years of age. And I drove 4 hours to see him from Ottawa to Toronto. And he wrote, signed a book, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I looked that up. It's my personal favorite verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So he got me reading the Bible. I had to look it up. He got my friend saved because he helped me look it up, and we looked through the Bible and went to church. And so tell me about, how old were you, 18 when you met Zig?
I was. I was getting ready to go off to college, and my mom and dad sent my brother and I to his Born to Win seminar. And I'll be honest with you, I was not sent on my own will. I did not want to go.
I went to
I mean, I'm 18 years old, and I didn't want to spend 3 days at a motivational seminar. But it literally changed my life. That those 3 days opened me up to a whole world I knew nothing about. I knew nothing about Zig Ziglar. I knew nothing about personal development or that I had the ability within me to do and, you know, go after my goals. And it was at that event that I had this moment of clarity where I knew that that's what I wanted to be doing someday. And I was so clear that I wanted to do it, but then I wanted to do it with Zig. And kind of like you just said, if there's anyone you'd want to represent, it would be Zig. And at 18, I had that, I just had that passion. And it was so much so that at the seminar, I walked up to Zig at the end and I shook his hand and I looked him in the eye and I said, Mr. Ziegler, I'm going to work for you one day. You wait and see, but I'm going to work for you. And he just smiled so graciously, and he's just such an amazing heart and soul. And but I felt it. I knew it. And but, you know, I'm 18 years old. But that laid the foundation for everything I ever wanted to do at such an early age.
Oh, I could imagine. And when you start with the right foundation, this really helps you stay away from some things and then also opens your eyes to amazing things, doesn't it? I remember my friend, like, I was into personal development motivation by then, but I brought him to Zig Ziglar. And when you see someone's eyes open to this kind of thinking, wow, it's exciting, right? You must have, did you figure out your definite purpose right at that kind of, in that year after you saw him, or did it take a while? Or, like, did you know, I'm a Ziglar motivational speaker today, now, this is my purpose?
No, not at all. In fact, I literally left that seminar and the next day went off to college, went to my freshman year. And I spent the next, you know, 4.5 years in college. And I had held on to a lot of the things that I learned. And I know that that was the reason why I was successful in college. But I had kind of forgotten the whole, you know, I'm going to work for Zig thing when I graduated. And when I had my very first job out of college, I was selling copiers. And I was going business to business, literally door to door. And I happened to walk across into a building, and at the top it said the Zig Ziglar Corporation. And I couldn't believe it, and I almost fell over because I immediately, all those thoughts and feelings of like, oh my gosh, that's right, you know, I'm supposed to work here.
Yeah.
Came rushing back. And it was just such a destiny moment for me because I had no idea Zig was based in Dallas, Texas. That's where I live. And, you know, it wasn't back in the day when we had Google. And I just assumed he, you know, the company was somewhere else. And so to walk into the headquarters, and, I mean, I literally ran up to the front desk like a little schoolgirl saying, you know, do you have any job openings? I'll do anything to work here. And they were hiring salespeople. I had 6 months of copier sales experience. I put together my first resume, shot it off, got an interview, and got the job. And it's what started me, you know, even then at such an early, early age, laying the foundation for something I just was so passionate about. I love knowing that, you know, no matter what I did, whether I answered the phone, whether I sold a program, whether I traveled, that the messages that they were going to learn through Zig would change their life. And that was just so exciting to me.
Life-changing beyond possibility. I could... If Zig's, I'm sure a million people told Zig that if you ever get sick, I can go up there and I can even do your accent, your jokes, everything by word, and amazing. Now, one thing, I wrote two things down when you told about finding Ziglar like that, and I'm 49, so I lived before Google too, and so just 4 years ago, my friend, Shane Moran, co-founder of Organo Gold, who got the award at the Think and Grow Rich Summit there, he told me about the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And I was like, what? There is a Napoleon Hill Foundation? If you Google Napoleon Hill or Think and Grow Rich, you'd have to go a few pages probably before you find the foundation because there's like a gazillion pages. So unless I specifically Googled Napoleon Hill Foundation, I might never have found it. And so you found Ziglar, and just like I found Napoleon Hill Foundation 4 years ago, and I was like, I still know my purpose is in there, but where? And now that I found them, it's like, wow. And
oh,
so then
isn't
you
that
feel,
exciting?
You almost feel like God's like giving you a little tap on the shoulder, like, remember this thing from before? And then I also wrote down, what kind of parents do you have that are paying for Born to Win? They must love Zig. And if you send someone to Born to Win, they probably read other books. And so tell me about your parents, because when I talk about blessings in life, I've had real bad physical challenges, but I always say amazing. And people say, well, why you say amazing? I say, well, listen to this. Like 4 out of 10 people don't eat every day, and they live on $2 a day or less. And also I have amazing parents. So brag on your parents who would pay money to send you to Born to Win before you go off to college, probably knowing that what you learned there would be just as valuable as what you learned years in college.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love telling the story now because I can give them all the credit and appreciate them. But I'll be honest, Tom, I was so angry and upset that they were forcing me to go to this event because it was the weekend before I was leaving to go off to college and I wanted to be with my friends and, you know. But my mom had attended Born to Win about 6 months before then, and while she was there, she just said, you know, this would be so great for my kids. And my brother was 21 at the time, and she just didn't hesitate. And I think even back then, one ticket was about $2,000 that I'm sure Whoa. Parents didn't have. Yeah, so I don't know what it was. In fact, that's a good question I should ask them is what really, you know, how did they know what an impact it would make? And I don't think they did, but I have to say now, seeing that, you know, what they were doing then, and I'm trying to do it now with my own kids, is they were planting seeds, had no idea if it would take root. And fortunately from both my brother and I, you know, we've both been very blessed, very, you know, surrounded by wonderful people, successful, you know. And I know it's because of what goes into our mind, and I am so blessed to have had that forced upon me. But I did it now.
But, yeah, sometimes, and Josh Hines, who commented nicely on Facebook about you, said sometimes later, you know, you realize that the worst day of your life or the worst time or the time you hated the most ends up becoming the most powerful moment in your life or ends up becoming like a purpose. And so something you really didn't want to go to now has become your life and has helped create your life. And so pretty cool. And we don't always know when we're going through something like that. We hate that. You hate it. It's like, wow, that makes such an amazing impact. So now let's get into your topic because I love this topic. First of all, I worked for a management consultant for 4 years. Part of management consulting is having someone sit beside people with a stopwatch and recording and trying to figure out ways to be efficient. Now, you talk about busy, and I'm an entrepreneur, too. I would imagine that's probably one of the biggest challenges because I'm like an ADD for business person, right? I'm not in real life, but I think entrepreneurs are like, wow, I can volunteer here. I can help here. This is part of my business. I can prospect over here. And so it's easy to get busy, especially if you don't have like a structured boss situation job. But I have learned to be an organized busy, eliminate non-values, you respond. I can still respond to a pile of emails, but I do them at certain times. I rarely take an inbound call unless it's scheduled. And so there are other things where I can stay busy, but a productive busy rather than a bouncing all over or not completing those kind of busy. Is that what you think kind of entrepreneurs, small business owners, is that a challenge for them? And you have some ideas on ways they can stay busy on the things that are important, but be a more organized type of busy.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's funny you said the ADD. You know, I used to always joke it's entrepreneurial ADD because most entrepreneurs are very good at juggling. You know, they're very good at doing many, many different things. Maybe they're doing multiple companies. And so I think that there's a blessing in there, but there is also a little bit of a curse in that we're sometimes so busy that we're keeping busy, but we're not being productive. And what catapulted the book, it was just something that I would get a little tickle every time I would run into somebody, and it would make me laugh a little because every person I talked to, whether they were a CEO of a company or a stay-at-home mom, when we started a conversation and I say, hey, how are you? How's things been? Every single person.
I'm so busy.
Busy. Yes. And it's just something that just it stirred in my mind for a long time, and I started hearing myself say it too. And it stopped me in my tracks because it made me think, gosh, we're so busy, but are we getting any of the things accomplished in life that make us happy, that will make our business better, that will make a difference in other people's lives? Probably not. You know, we tend to put off the things that matter most. you know, to the back burner. I'll get to that someday. You know, I'll write the book someday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start the business someday. But yet we have all the time in the world to do the things that don't matter. So my take on this is, it's just like you were saying, it's evaluating where are you spending your time. I have no doubt you're busy, no matter what you do for a living. But is it working for you? And if it's not, you know, let's look at some ways to be more productive instead of just busy.
Right. And if we just work on the people that are busy, that's like 98%, because it's replaced the how are you. You people sometimes say, oh, okay, or whatever. Now they say busy. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that's 98% of your market. They feel they're busy. But if they could do it in a more a thoughtful way where they choose what busy they are and they choose when busy they are, I think that would make a lot of people less stressed, I would believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of times we tend to react to deadlines. And what I tell people is to look at those deadlines. Are they your deadline? Or are you just responding to somebody else's priorities? And I think a lot of what we schedule and a lot of what makes us so busy aren't necessarily things that move us farther along in what we want to accomplish, but maybe somebody else. And hear me when I say I'm a big believer in helping others. But in order to be effective and to be a difference maker, you have to set boundaries. And you have to be in control of your time. I have a saying that people will respect you to the exact degree that you respect yourself. Well, that goes for your time. If you respect your time and you set boundaries, like I love that you said that you don't answer an unscheduled call. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's what I would suggest. Because you're basically, you need to set the boundaries that your time is valuable. And then other people will follow through with the way, you know, that you set that boundary. But if you allow people to interrupt your day, if you allow people to distract you, if you allow people to take away from your priorities, then they'll know that and continue doing that.
Right, and you say you think of some things, you kind of laugh in your head when they happened, and you think about productivity. I laugh. You see some people, the phone rings, and they could be doing anything, and they'll trip over themselves, they'll run, they'll do whatever it takes to answer the phone. And a lot of times I'll be with my wife, and my cell will ring, and, well, she knows it now, we've been married long enough, but at the start, it's a little disconcerting, because I rarely answer. You going to get that?
Yeah.
It says call display. It's your mom. We're in a restaurant. I don't need to talk to my mom now. I'm going to call her later. All I know,
right.
It's my mom. And so this is a bizarre thing for people, that you take calls or do calls on your schedule. You don't have to be eating with your spouse and answer a call. And so these are crazy things that people think are crazy, but they're so simple that it makes you more productive at the moment, and it makes you more productive overall. Now, another thing that I think that helps with productivity, the number one thing, and it's what part of your passion is to help people, once you know it, if you have your God-given definite purpose, you know Jesus is sitting on the other side of the table, and he would hand you a piece of paper that has whatever you have written on it, and says, Michelle, I created you so you could go do this. If you know that, then your productivity becomes a gazillion times better, because you'll be sitting watching TV thinking, is this getting me any closer to that God-given purpose, or am I just mental candy floss for my brain here? And so talk about that, because I know you must, that's it, you found your purpose, because this is Napoleon Hill and Zig Ziglar that you're familiar with, so I know you found your purpose, but talk about how that helps with people being productive on the things that they're passionate about. Because if you're productive and busy on the things that you're passionate about, it doesn't seem like work. It feels like you're cheating the world, and feels like your energy could go on forever.
I'm so glad you asked that, because so many people, when you say productivity, they think time management tips and strategies and all that. And yes, there's some of that involved. But I always start with, it doesn't matter. You will never be productive unless you have a purpose, unless you know what it is you want to accomplish. And so that's where I start with people, is finding out, you know, what lights you up? what is it that you do that it comes easy to you? What would you do if, you know, money were no object and, you know, you had no worries? What would you do? And helping people get to that core, because I am a firm believer every single one of us are here for a reason, with a purpose, and ultimately to impact other people. That's just my belief.
Amen.
And I know you believe the same. And so first things first is figuring that out. And I agree with you that it's so interesting. So I found my passion at an early age, and I'll kind of complete the story here. And when I worked for Zig, I loved it. Every day I was truly living my passion, loved what I did. I made a decision after working there about 3 or 4 years. I was still pretty young. I wanted to go make more money. And I was getting offered a job in software sales during the dot-com boom, and it was a huge opportunity for me. So I had to, at that point in my life, make a decision. Do I follow my passion and my purpose, or do I go make more money? And I chose to make more money. And I spent the next 12 years in corporate America being, quote-unquote, successful, but inside I was miserable. And it's because, you know, the further you get away from your purpose, there's no way your life can be happy and fulfilling. And so it's what started me back into the world that I'm in now, and that was about 5 or 6 years ago. I knew I was supposed to write a book. I had no idea what I was going to write about, but I just knew God was calling me to write a book. And when I finally figured out the topic, I would get up early, I would stay up late, and I would get this book done. And I had it done in 3 weeks. But I tell people that story because I worked harder than I ever worked. I had 2 young kids in elementary school. I was working full-time. I was so busy. But because it was my passion and my purpose, it didn't feel like work. It was literally pulling me. I didn't have to push it. And so that's why I always tell people, let's start with first things first. What is it that you love to do? I mean, I believe that God's going to give you a purpose closely tied to something you enjoy. So figuring that out first and foremost, and then putting those goals in place, and then setting the priorities and the deadlines and all that on the things you want to make happen, and you'll find that those are the things that you accomplish and not the things that are just stuck on that to-do list.
Amen. A friend of mine, Savannah Ross, she'll be speaking at my Think and Grow Rich event in Toronto. She made a lot of money in real estate in Canada, like retired, famous, every news publication in Canada interviewer, but she didn't care about real estate. It didn't interest her. She went to a third world country on a vacation. She decided to go into the city. She saw poverty that broke her heart. And she's a strong Christian. She got back, and she bought more real estate faster, quicker, more than ever, because she piled the money. She brought it down to there. She built houses, orphanage, schools, helped families and people. And so she's like, wow, before real estate, made a lot of money, could buy whatever I want. Yeah, but it wasn't really something I was like, wow, I'm going to go do another deal. But she said, when I found my purpose to help and serve these people and you know, wow, I could tie now making money, I could tie it to, wow, think of a village I could start, or houses I could build, or the orphanage I could help. And she's like, wow, that, now real estate is a passion, because every dollar deals, you know, she does, she's like, wow, that can, like, $10,000 a house in a third world country, a nice one. So, you know, and now she's even got her sons thinking like that too, like, mom, you know, that car's a few $20,000 more, is that worth 2 houses in the third world country? And she's like, and so your purpose doesn't always have to be your job, but if you find your purpose, you'll make more money on your job, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. Oh, that's a great story, too. And how much joy, you know, imagine living joyfully like that every single day.
Imagine if you're just saying that, you know, people are like, is that possible to live with that kind of joy every day? And really, you and I know, if you find your purpose, you're going to have your ups and downs. Come on, life hits us all. As the Bible said, the rain falls on the good and the bad. But if you have your purpose, your life is going to have a lot more joy and happiness, just because even you spend the most time with yourself, with your 50,000 thoughts a day. And if you have a purpose that is just passionate and exciting, and your brain's going to be busy thinking of how to help people, serve people. And so even just for your day-to-day walking around, your brain's having a lot of fun with your passionate purpose, as opposed to, what did that news station say again?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly. It's just so worth it. And then it makes the thing so much, it makes everything else just work easier. I don't know if easier is the right word, but it just,
yeah.
Life is a lot smoother, you know?
Deadlines, yeah, and doesn't, and it makes making decisions too easier. Like if someone asks you to get involved in something, it could be very worthwhile. But if it's not your purpose and you're involved in 10 things regarding your purpose, then maybe you can really say no and know that you're making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So give us some other tips now on, okay, now we found our purpose and we want to eliminate non-value-added time and activities in our life so we can passionately pursue that as much time as we can and commit as much money as we can to it. So some other tips now where we can, one is mine, like don't take those incoming calls unless they're scheduled or unless you have to, you know, make some rules on that. That's a big one. Another one maybe you could talk about, write thing. I've used the Ziegler Performance Planner for years. So you're
yes!
in my Ziegler Performance Planner today, and I have a stack of Ziegler Performance Planners from previous years. So talk about that, because someone might say, well, I'm a housekeeper, housewife, number one job in the world, looking after kids and that. Well, I don't need a Ziegler Performance Planner. Hello? Yes, you do. So talk maybe about that and a few other strategies you have.
You bet. You know, there's a bazillion calendar systems out there and available for sale. So there's really no lack of, you know, the ability to get a good calendar system. But what's lacking is joining your calendar with your goals and your priorities in your life. And that's what Ziegler's Performance Planner does. That's what the whole message that they stand behind is. And what I also teach on is you have to bring the two together. And one of the first things I have people do when they begin coaching with me or if they come to a seminar is we take a really close look at their calendar. And I will be honest, this is not a fun activity for a lot of people, especially people who are constantly saying how busy they are, they're so stressed out. But if I take a look at their calendar, you can tell a lot about a person by their calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a lot about a person based on what they schedule and what they don't. And, you know, this kind of goes back to our priorities and identifying, you know, what's important to you? What are your goals? What are your dreams? Is your family the most important thing to you? If you tell me it is. But if I look at your calendar and I don't see any time for date night or I don't see any time with the kids on the weekend, then that's not your priority.
Mm.
You know, if you tell me physical health is important to you, that's your priority, but yet you are not scheduling time to go work out or take a walk, then you're basically contradicting yourself. And that's where people get overwhelmed, is we say one thing but we do something else. And the bottom line is this. We are probably 100% in control of our calendar, or if not 100, at least 90%, meaning you know, even if somebody schedules things for you, you know what's going into your calendar, so you have the say. So we have to be more aware of what are we choosing to participate in, like you said, when you know your purpose, so you're real clear on what you should be working on. But really taking a look at not just your business. I see it. You know, I even for myself sometimes can get caught in this. Everything related to business is scheduled. This interview, you know, my coaching clients, my seminars, all the things that I do for my business, it is locked in tight in my calendar and nothing gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about your personal life, though? What about your physical health? What about your spiritual health? You know, are you scheduling time to have quiet time, to have a devotional? If that's important to you, then why isn't it scheduled? So one of my biggest suggestions is really looking at your day, but then blocking off what do you really want to accomplish. Put the big rocks in first. The big rocks meaning, you know, spiritual, financial, career, family, personal, you know, all those things that make up a person. pick out the goals in those areas, put those in your calendar first, and then everything else can trickle in behind it. You know, it's funny how, I don't know if you've ever had a day like this where you have the best of intentions to get something done. You know, whether it's a, you know, preparing for a talk or, you know, preparing for a client. And that is, you know, something you're going to get done. But before you know it, it's 12 o'clock, and all you've done since you started working was check emails, maybe go on Facebook, and basically respond to everybody else's requests, and nothing has been accomplished. And that's because there's no structure. There's no boundaries. There's no blocking of time. And so I always suggest, first things first, get up early. And I'm not a morning person, so this is hard for me too. But get up at least 1 hour earlier and schedule something. What is that? For me, what I do in that hour is that's my quiet time. If I get up and I'm busy, I'm not going to fit that in later in the day, and it's important to me, so I have to do that in the morning. Sometimes I can't fit in my exercise, so maybe I'll walk around the block or do something like that. But what having that extra hour will do is makes your mind more productive because you have the time to spend and give yourself some quality time.
Amen. And you schedule that quality time for that specific area of your life.
Yes, and, you know, I don't know if men struggle with this as much as women do, but I know women sometimes feel guilty when they take time for themselves, especially when we're in the child-rearing ages. But I always use the analogy that we've all heard a million times, and that is when we're on an airplane, and in case of an emergency, you know, if there was a problem, excuse me, who do they recommend you put the mask on first?
Yourself.
You or the child. Right.
You put it on yourself.
And the reason
first.
The reason is you can't help anyone else until you help yourself first.
Amen. Amen. Michelle, let me give an example on this exact one that I know you'll appreciate. And I'm just flat out, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm in church. I'm praying. I love the Lord.
Love it.
But for the first five, maybe even 10 years that after I was saved, when I was initially saved, I read that Bible like it was food. But after that, not so much. And every sermon, every week, no matter what the 5 steps, 3 steps, 7 steps, 9 steps, 4 ways, one was always read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it every day. And I'd be like, doesn't that sucker know I'm busy? He's a pastor. He's paid to read that thing every day. You know, I'm busy. I don't have time. Since I stopped with that nonsense, I get up early anyway. I used to watch SportsCenter for the first half hour. I read my Bible every day, 15 minutes. And that's done more for me probably than anything ever. And I'm up, I get up early, I don't turn on that TV, and I'm not one of those people now that, but Pastor, I'm busy, I don't have time to read the Bible every day, you're paid to do that. If you make time, and if you ask a Christian, is it important to read the Bible? Well, hopefully all of them will say yes. And if you ask them and they don't, then they should, like, do something like this.
I totally agree, and I'm like you. I mean, there are days that it's not as easy to have the motivation. So for anyone listening, just know that, you know, it's not always going to be easy, but that's the part of discipline, because when you do it, it changes everything. That's probably one of the greatest things that I learned from Zig Ziglar that I cherish. It was working for a Christian company that wasn't ashamed to share their faith. And, in fact, every Monday morning before we started work, we had a meeting at 7:30 in the morning called Devotions. And it was 30 minutes, and it's how we kicked off the week, and it was just somebody sharing their testimony or something inspiring, you know, based on the truth. And I remember Zig always saying, it was never required. Nobody had to go. But he always said the most important meeting that ever happens in this company is devotion, Monday morning. So that has stayed with me because I see how things like that, you know, deep down, if you look at the people that are really truly successful in the kind of success that you want to be, probably they have that strong base. You know, they have that strong, and I don't want to get, you know, too off center here, but at the same time, it's so important to just, you have to fill yourself. You have to prepare for the day. And then you're going to have the momentum to just keep getting things done and keep moving and being productive. But you have to feed yourself first.
You have to feed yourself first, and you do have to schedule. Because a lot of times if you don't schedule and have it written down and remind yourself, it is easy to just let your brain and body be lazy. Turn on a TV or read through some nonsense, news or whatever. And so if you have it in front of you, it's a kind of a reminder of your commitment. And I find a lot that, as you said, some of self-discipline. So many people decide what they're going to do based on how they feel. And believe me, I'm tired, I'm sore, you know, my arthritis. A lot of mornings I don't feel like reading the Bible. A lot of times I go to the gym, especially the gym. A lot of times I go, I don't feel like going.
Right.
I do it because I committed to it. I have a number, how many gym exercises I'm going to do a year as a goal, 86 this year. And so I count them. And so when you do those things and make those decisions, regardless of how you feel, you know, I don't care how I feel, I still got to go to the gym. I don't care how I feel, I'm still reading the Bible this morning. And that's kind of important, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so that's where having it scheduled, you look at it, you know, okay, I made that decision. It's not a daily decision I made. I made this decision. Now it's just implementing it every day. It's not making the decision every day, am I going to do it? I'm going to do it because I wrote it down. So I even wrote down a number for the Bible. How many days a year do I open it and read it at least 10 minutes? And I set a pretty low goal, 150 for the year. I'm at 118 days already. So I got to bump that up. I got to bump that up next year. But so this is some really good practical advice because a lot of people, and hey, a lot of people, I'm a lot of people. I'm an average person, normal person. I have a busy life with my wife and my church and my entrepreneurial brain that gets me into a gazillion things and volunteering. So it's important for even for average people with a busy life in their community, in their family, in their jobs, and in their businesses to at least seek ways that you can be more productive and seek ways that when your thoughts and your time are idle, that you could think, okay, you know, I should be, let's do this instead of being tired and turning on the TV or reading the newspaper again or whatever, right? And so this can help people who maybe you want to love to volunteer and you love to be at church and you would love all those things. You can do all those things. But let's schedule the things that are important that you have to do on your own. And let's also say no to a lot of things so you can stay passionately committed to the few things that you decided on. What about procrastination? Do you have some tips on that? Because that is that's a tough one for a lot of people. Even some areas in my life I procrastinate. So give us some steps on overcoming procrastination because that's kind of opposite of being busy. If being busy is you're not procrastinating, you're trying to do everything. But if you're procrastinating, you're often not doing what you should and could be passionate about. So give us some steps on that one.
Sure. So typically what happens with procrastination, and I usually ask this question to my coaching clients too, you know, what are you procrastinating on? And in almost all answers, it's something that's either going to make their business more money, they're going to feel more happier, their relationships are going to be better. It's something that's going to make their life better are the things that they're procrastinating on. They're not procrastinating on the little things. They're not procrastinating on, you know, Facebook and all that. So it starts back similar to your purpose is figuring out, number one, what are you really procrastinating on? And then getting real with yourself. Why are you procrastinating? Chances are good it's related to fear. It could be fear of failure. It could be fear of success. But until you really, you know, identify that, it's hard to overcome something you don't know to overcome. But what I always suggest to people is go back and think of what were some of the things, if you are just drawing a blank and you can't think of anything that you're passionate about or excites you because you've been doing, you know, what you feel like you should be doing for so long and not what you want to be doing, go back to the days when you had dreams and you had goals and aspirations and dust them off. And I use my example because, you know, I do believe that our passion doesn't necessarily change. It can evolve, it can grow, you know, our purpose. And so sometimes what we want to do when we're younger, may still play a part, but we've, in our mind, put it off because we're, oh, well, I'm too busy, or I don't have money, or I don't have this. So what did you want to do? Did you want to write a book? Did you want to travel the world? Did you want to take your kids on a vacation? You know, what were some of the things that you were like, oh, I really want to do that someday? And pull them back out, because chances are good it's still something that you want to do. And like me, falling in love with personal development at 18, you know, that really was my life and my calling then. I left it for a long time, and I paid the consequences of being unhappy. But now that I'm back, I am just as excited and just as fired up about that dream as I was at 18. So I always encourage people to think back. What was it that you really, what was something that excited you before? Chances are good it's still there. But there's no real, you know, trick or secret to procrastination other than just doing it. We're so afraid of making mistakes. We're afraid of what if. What if they don't like it? What if I fail? What if I don't, what if it, you know, what if?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we just stop ourselves in our tracks. So it's kind of like it all boils down to your mindset is, well, what if it works? What if you don't do it? What if this is your purpose? And what if there's somebody that needs what you, you know, I work with a lot of people that want to write books. So I always say to them, you know, what if what you have to say in a book, somebody is in desperate need of hearing? And by you not doing it and you procrastinating on this, you are literally taking away from somebody else.
Wow.
And
in many cases,
in a different context.
In many cases, Michelle, if you ask that person, if one person read your book and it deeply impacted them, it probably, for a lot of those people, would be worth writing it for one person that they deeply impacted with their story, whether it sold millions or not. But if you said, even if it only impacted deeply, deeply to the core, one person, would you write that book? And, you know, you and I come across people who have gone through amazing things and done amazing things. And boy, if they could just write a book, there would be people that would be impacted for sure.
Yeah.
Can we do another question? Because I have another one, because I'm an entrepreneur.
Sure.
So I'm an entrepreneur, and of course my focus is bouncing all over the place. And so we can organize our time. I organize my time with my performance planner, my calls and emails, but how do I organize my focus of my thoughts? Because as an entrepreneur, probably especially with my wife, there can be times that we may have dinner or whatever, and wow, I may be looking at her, but my brain is solving some other kind of business problem, solution, idea, thought, blog, whatever. And so how about focus and entrepreneurs? Because we have a lot of things in our brain, but that can really impact negatively the people we have right in front of our face.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and really, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, it goes back down to, you know, true listening skills and really giving somebody your attention. But I think that's where part of the scheduling helps. Because when you compartmentalize your day to where literally between these hours and these hours, I'm working on this project, and between these hours and these hours, I am speaking and motivating, and between these hours and these hours, I am having family time, quality time, date night time, and giving it that same focus and attention that you would this interview, then it tends to, I mean, obviously that's what we all need to do, but it's easier to do for me if I have that scheduled. If I know, I try to be diligent with my husband on a date night, and if I know that we have one coming up, it's almost like you're preparing yourself to give wholeheartedly to that other person. Not that
right.
We wouldn't, but we do get busy, and it does happen. So I think the scheduling helps with that.
Right,
but,
and I think it's also kind of a signal for my brain, because if I start doing that, and you've scheduled, let's say you've scheduled something that's related to that, whatever you're thinking, I can say to my brain, like, stop thinking about that. Like, we're doing that later at 3 o'clock. So
exactly.
let's be here now, because I'm thinking about this later. I already have this schedule to think about later. So not only is it a focus, a scheduled part of your time, but it's almost a little scheduled part for your thoughts to say, okay, don't worry, get back to the task at hand, because we're going to be paying attention to this later.
And this is probably an obvious one, but, you know, because our technology, now we are never disconnected with cell phones and all that, and it's so easy. My husband and my kids and I will go to dinner sometimes, and, you know, of course, my emails never stop, even if it's after hours. And there's always that tendency to want to look and see what's happening and who's pinging me and who's texting me, why do they need me? So we've instilled this rule. My kids are not thrilled with it, but at dinner, I collect phones, even if we're at a restaurant. And we stack them up on the table and we push them aside or we put them in my purse or something, and not to be touched until dinner is over. And as simple as that sounds, in this day and age, it's not as easy as you think, because we're so prone to being pulled into other people's priorities that it's hard to shut off sometimes. But we all need a break. We do. And in order to and that's, again, where that morning time is so important, because if you're not ever getting a break mentally and you're not feeding yourself and you're, you know, what's really matters, you're going to break at some point.
And right. And you could think that you can think that you're having family time, and, you know, oh, it's important for me, and we're having family time at this restaurant. But if you have five individuals staring at their phones, you just have five people eating dinner. You're not really having family time. And so this is a way, okay, family is important to me. Let's be productive about family. Let's be a family now, instead of just four individuals with phones in their hands gobbling food down.
Exactly.
You know, and so these are things that, yes, decide what's important, what's your priority, and what you love. And when you're doing it, be productive at it and do it. And then whatever you have else you have scheduled to think about or do other things, do it in those scheduled times so that you don't miss out on family time happening right in front of you, or that could happen right in front of you. And mm-hmm. so I like that example, and that's an easy one to think of. Probably not easy to do. Probably your family probably like, no, we don't want to go to dinner. Please. Can we just eat at home? And so when you think of these things, it's like, wow, that could really impact, could really make a nice time out as opposed just to something to do to do something. And I like that example. That is a great one. So you are lucky, because I think Michelle Prince is probably a common name, probably a lot of people, but you got it as a website name.
So I
don't have to remind people, like, think of this or think of that or remember that. It's like Michelle Prince, if they can remember your name, they got your website, michelleprince.com.
Yes.
I think even if you Google you're number one, are you? Let me see here.
You know, I don't know. I have to tell you a funny story, and then I know we're closing, but I didn't get my name the first 2 or 3 years I was in business, and it was because another woman who owned it, she treated women through holistic, menopausal women with holistic remedies. So every now and then when somebody would look me up, they would go to this site, and it was this woman working with menopausal women. It's like, no, it's not me. I'm sure she's a wonderful person doing wonderful things, but it was just kind of
not me. So eventually you were able to get your name from her?
Yes. Eventually she let it go, and I got it. So
wow. So I Google your name. I'm in Toronto, about close to Toronto, and Winning in Life Now, Amazon.com, your book. And we didn't even talk about an amazing book. So Winning in Life Now, Amazon, and then you're number two, michelleprince.com. You're number three with the video to go with Winning in Life, and you're number four with an interview with Jori Fisher. So you got your name. You got your name well covered in Google, and a Ziegler motivational, or Ziegler, what is the official thing you're called? The Ziegler speaker, trainer.
Well,
that should be enough credibility. Even if I just ended the show with that, she's a Ziegler speaker or trainer. That's it. People should just flood over to you right now, because that is like a gold stamp of excellence for anyone, for anything in the world. And so to have that tells me more, gives me more credibility about you than anything. I would be like, my vetting process is done. She works with Ziegler. That's enough for me. I don't need to know any one thing more than that. And so what a difference and impact that the Ziegler company makes on lives. I'm brought to tears regularly thinking of Ziegler and the impact he had on my life. And there's millions and millions, millions of people just like that. And you're involved with them and changing those lives. And productivity, people can just sometimes just line it up with business. But if you take productivity and you use it for life, you can get more out of each aspect and area of your life, and you can do it in a way that brings you joy and happiness instead of always having to answer that you're busy. You can be busy, and you can still have the joy and the passion and be busy at the things that God wanted you to be busy with and busy at. So keep up the great work with your things you do and with Ziegler, and you and I know the importance of finding that purpose in life and passion and following it and knowing why the Lord created you to be here. So MichellePrince.com, we said that's easy to find. If you just Google it, you'll find her and her book. And then, of course, I'll build a website page to promote this. Thanks so much for your time today, Michelle. I think you and I could talk for the rest of the day, but we do have to get back to our other things. We have to be productive here. Get back to work.
That's right. We have to be a good example. So
exactly.
Well,
have an amazing day.
Thank you.
Take
you
care.
Too. Bye-bye.